Welcome to Women from United Nations Radio in New York. I'm Jerry Adams. With the help of a local women's association and with support from the United Nations mission in Haiti, MINUSTAH, four women have started a cell phone repair business that has changed their lives. Lovely is a talented young woman. Give her any damaged cell phone and she'll fix it. This skill has changed her life, and she's sticking to it, making the best use of it to develop a serious business. Lovely Martin is one of the four founding members of FanMCell, a small business that brought the remote village of Balan, Haiti, into the modern world.
As a single mother and without a job, people would look down on me. But now that I'm working, everybody is respecting me. It changed my life because I wasn't doing anything. I had no job. Now I am cashing in some money. Things are getting easier for me.
In her house in northern Haiti, the entire family benefits from Lovely's newfound business. Take her dad, for example, a farmer. Since he was injured in a car crash, he's been unable to work in the field. Now he's helping out Lovely with her business. Then there are about 10 children, from siblings to nieces and nephews, who are living at home. Lovely is taking care of them all. She's even asked her younger brother to help her out by selling phone credits to the villagers. Through FanMCell, which means sell women, you can not only have your phone repaired, you can also buy a new phone, SIM cards, and credits. Everyone is amazed by the sight of these four women performing so well, says one of FanMCell's co-founders, Aminata Jean.
We are women from the same area, so we decided that instead of having each one of us open a separate shop, we could merge and do a collective business.
But the four women have had to struggle. Being young, single, and a mother, they say, is not easy in this area in which violence against women is widespread. With the help of a local women's association and the United Nations Stabilization Mission in Haiti, MINUSTAH, the women receive financial and moral support. MINUSTAH supported the program with $200,000. In addition, the Center for Information and Technology, CTI, supported with audiovisual and practical courses. Again, Aminata Jean.
An educated woman is less exposed to violence than a woman who is not educated, because you assimilate some values and get to know the appropriate behaviors you should adopt.
CTI will support them during the next 6 months by offering them additional credit so that they are able to invest more. The Security Council recently looked at the way conflict-related sexual violence destroys lives and undermines development. As UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon told the meeting, the negative effects of this crime persist long after the guns fall silent. Deanne Penn reports.
The UN defines sexual violence in conflict as rape, sexual slavery, forced prostitution, and other abuses that are directly or indirectly linked to combat. For Saran Keita Dayakite of the NGO Working Group on Women, Peace and Security, these crimes brutally reinforce the concept that women are not equal and can be violated with impunity.
Sustainable peace and the elimination of conflict-related sexual violence will not be possible without addressing the root causes of inequality. Concretely, this means ensuring women's equality at all stages of peace processes and addressing crimes against women in all peace accords, including guaranteeing women's human rights in the context of peace agreements, ensuring sexual violence is a violation of ceasefire agreements, and not allowing amnesty provisions for such crimes.
While women and girls are disproportionately the victims of sexual violence during conflict, the latest UN report on this subject finds men and boys are increasingly being targeted. Other emerging concerns include forced marriage by armed groups and the plight of children born from rape, about whom little is known. UN Special Advisor on Sexual Violence in Conflict, Zainab Hawa Bangura, presented the report to the Security Council.
The report also stresses the acute lack of services for victims. It is absolutely essential that we continue to meet our obligations to the survivors. The critical health, psychosocial, legal, and other interventions that they must have to rebuild their lives.
Ms. Bangura recently returned from the Eastern Democratic Republic of the Congo. She visited a community there where 11 babies were raped last year by rebel groups. Despite atrocities like this, she said eradicating sexual violence in conflict is not a mission impossible. UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon called for sustained efforts to prevent this scourge.
It encompasses the work of all those involved in building peace in the aftermath of conflict, from restoring the rule of law and advancing gender equality to promoting early recovery and longer-term development.
UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon during the Security Council meeting on women, peace and security. Deanne Penn, United Nations.
In April, the United Nations commemorated the anniversary of the 1994 Rwandan genocide, where approximately 800,000 Tutsis and moderate Hutus were murdered by Hutu extremists. In the following item, Virginie Ingabire details her experience at the commemoration. Virginie lived in Kigali, Rwanda's capital. In 1994, when she was just 10 years old, the family went to Gitarama during an Easter break, leaving her father, who stayed behind to work. But as they left Kigali, a military truck with presidential guards went to their house and burned it down. Luckily, her father escaped. However, back in Gitarama, the rest of her family was not so lucky.
One day, our cousin Kagame went in the town, but he didn't come back. My mom was like, something's not right. Then the next morning, one of my cousins went in the town to check out, to see what's going on. He came back running. He was so scared. And he said that they have killed Kagame, cut him in pieces. That night, people came and knocked on the door. They didn't go inside the house, but they told everyone to go outside. My mom told me to go to bed. She was holding a baby. I cried, saying that I want to go to the bathroom. When I came back from the restroom, I just stood there. They have aligned all of them on one line. It was my mom, my aunt, three cousins. After a little while, one of the guys saw me and he came and grabbed my arm. They were like five or six men wearing long coats. They had guns and machetes. I heard one of the men telling my mom that she should take the baby to bed. He forced her to take the baby, and she took the baby back inside, and that was the last time I saw her. I was crying, asking them not to kill me. Then one of the guys said, can we not kill her? Because she's a little girl. But the other guy said, if we don't kill her, where is she going to go? One of the guys asked me if I can go in Mushubati, and I said, I don't know what it is. He said, so you want us to kill you? I said, you know what? I can try and run and go find that place. And he said, okay, run. Don't ever come back here. So I ran. I stopped in one of the bushes. When I was sitting in that bush, I could hear them killing my family. I could hear the voices moaning, crying. But I just sat there. I wasn't afraid. It was like it wasn't me. I ended up at my aunt's house. When I got there, I heard the baby crying. I was happy. I thought my mom was alive. I called her, Mama, Mama, the baby is crying. But she didn't answer. Somehow I knew. I took the baby and woke my brother and my sister. My brother was 8 years old and my sister was three and the baby was 1 month old. The baby was crying a lot. He was hungry. I didn't know what to do. I was scared that if they hear the baby crying, they're going to come back and kill us all. In the morning, I put my baby on my back. So we went. I saw this man that I know. His name was Majid. And I told him that everybody else died. So Majid took us with him to Kisenyi. Meanwhile, there was an old lady in the area. Majid gave the baby to that lady. Since that day, we didn't see the baby anymore.
Virginie Ingabire, a young woman from Rwanda. You've been listening to Women from United Nations Radio in New York. I'm Jerry Adams.